Hi, I'm Gemma Ricks, and you're listening to Ticket A42 with John O'Hara on AussieTheatre.com.
Hi there, and welcome back to Ticket A42, Australia's leading theatre industry podcast produced by AussieTheatre.com and hosted by me, John O'Hara. Each month, I get to have a catch-up with a fun, exciting and successful Australian artist to find out what they're working on, what makes them tick, and of course, they take the Ticket A42 test. So many people have tweeted me asking me to interview my next guest. So she really needs no introduction. Everyone who's anyone knows, Gemma Ricks is the star of the current Australian tour of Wicked, currently playing here in Brisbane at beautiful QPAC, and she kindly agreed to join me for a chat today. Hello, Gemskis.
Hello, Jono.
How good is Brisbane?
It's awesome. Yeah. It's very hot. I just walked over the bridge and I'm schwitzing.
Yeah. You don't look like you're schwitzing. Now, Gem, I promised you last night after the show that I wouldn't ask you any of the normal questions that you get asked in a Wicked interview. And I'm going to keep my promise, but we need to get a few things out of the way. So you correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
It takes you about 40 minutes to get green.
Tick.
Tick. It takes you about 30 minutes to de-green.
Yep, tick.
Yeah. You've done around 1,200 shows as Elphaba.
Maybe. Yeah, it'll probably be that now. Yeah.
And by the end of the tour, you might be the second longest running Elphaba in the world.
I think so, yeah.
There you go. You've done Wicked since 2008.
Yes.
Yes. You've toured Australia twice, Singapore, South Korea, Manila and New Zealand.
Yep.
And your favourite cast member is...
Jono.
John O'Hara. Yes. So I reckon that they're like the usual questions you get asked,
That's
right?
That's it, especially the last one.
So let's talk about your voice first. Yeah. So arguably, you've got one of the best music theatre belt voices going around at the moment.
Oh, that's weird to hear that.
No, it's true. And over the last year especially, I feel like we've seen your voice on a larger scale in terms of you taking the stage on like massive sporting events and live TV, where we've seen you sing the national anthem, you've smashed out Defying Gravity a few times, and you even took on Vanessa Amorosi's Heroes Live Forever at the Melbourne Cup, which was brave, but you knocked it out of the ballpark.
Thank you.
So tell me how you prepare for something like that.
So for the Vanessa Amorosi one for the Melbourne Cup, Heroes Live Forever, I was approached about doing it and I was completely excited but also super nervous because I'd watched Lucy Durack had done it the year before and then Christy Whelan-Brown did it the year before that.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it and going, what an awesome gig. Oh, that is just so magical. But it's funny when you then get asked, you then go, oh my gosh, you get so scared that you're like, I don't know if I want to do it.
Yeah.
And especially with the song. And it first came up, they wanted that song before they wanted me.
Yeah.
So they had that song in their minds and they said, look, have you ever heard of it before? And I actually hadn't.
Yeah.
And so I obviously went on YouTube and I listened to it and was just like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do it. And so they were like, all right, well, we'll get you to do like a rehearsal-y kind of thing. Just record it on your phone and then send it to us so we can hear what it sounds like as well. Because I guess I could possibly sing it, but if it didn't sound nice or whatever, they might go, oh, we might find somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's obviously quite tricky when you're playing Elphaba to then also learn new material and stuff. So I had to be really careful with how much I practiced and it was a super, super dodgy recording. Like I actually even like stuffed up the lyrics and was randomly singing some random notes, but I was like, you know, I can't afford to sing it again.
Yeah.
So that's what you get.
Yeah.
And I sent it through and they were really happy. So then we went through the rehearsal and process of that. And so, yeah, so I worked really, really hard on it.
Yeah.
It's just insane how much the process of it was huge.
Yeah.
And in the way of getting dressed and being looked after with certain clothing and how my hair was going to be. And it was very detailed.
And you smashed it so hard that there were some people that asked me, they're like, did Gemma even sing that live? And I was like, yes, she sang it live. So you heard it here today, right?
Yeah.
You sang that song live on live television. That's how good you are. So over the last year, because you've done so many of those kind of events, do you have a favourite that you, because you did the tennis as well.
Yeah, that was really cool too, because I watch the tennis every year. Yeah. So that was really awesome.
Yeah.
But probably, Melbourne Cup was my number one, just because, you know, I was really challenged by singing that song. So, but also, you know, when I did the football as well, and I don't know, they're all amazing moments in their own, their own right. And yeah, it's pretty special to have that opportunity, but also very scary.
Yeah. And so when we came back to Australia with the tour of Wicked, when we opened last year back in Melbourne in May, to kind of launch that off, you sang Defying Gravity on Sunrise at 6:30 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah, I think it ended up being, 7:45?
Right.
Yeah, but like I had to do sound checks and that before as well.
So this is a great story that people will probably not have heard. Can you just take us through the kind of 24 hours before that you were up at 2 a.m. and all of that? Just tell that story.
Well, it's also, we were in rehearsal in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So I actually had to fly to Sydney to do it.
Yeah.
So that's obviously another taxing thing on the voice.
Yeah.
And I remember Kelly Dickerson at the time, she was nervous for me. So she was the original musical director for Wicked.
Yeah.
And she was scared because she knows what it takes for your voice to be that warm. And also the fact that when you do the show, by the time you get to Defying Gravity, you're so warm and comfortable that it comes out a lot better rather than just to sing it. It's a lot more tricky. So I flew to Sydney and I set my alarm. I actually did fall asleep really early, which was good because I didn't think I would.
Yeah.
And I think I tried to get to sleep at like 7:30 and I think I pretty much did that in the night. And then I set my alarm for 2:30. I got up.
AM, 2:30
AM.
We just need to put that out there, yeah.
And I went to the gym.
Yep.
And I ran for about 20 minutes and then I did some stretches and then I had some breakfast. So by the time I got to the studio, I felt like I'd been awake for, you know, a considerable amount of time.
Yeah.
But when I did my sound check and I sort of did the end notes at the end, they were a bit shaky. And I remember looking at Kelly and she was just like, "You'll be fine. You'll be fine." And I could tell that she was fully like, "Oh my gosh, I don't know if you will be." And so I just had to let that go.
Yep.
And they had some sort of special show on about some child and I was just like, you know what, Gemma, this little bit of entertainment is so minimal in what really goes on in the world. Just enjoy the moment and stop worrying about yourself. And so I just tried to stay very much in the moment and worked very much on my technique. I had in-ears.
Yeah.
So in theatre, guys, we don't have in-ears. Yeah. We have to just rely on the fallback speakers that we have.
So for people that don't know what an in-ear is, it's a little speaker that actually sits inside your ear.
Yeah. And so what that does is it has the balance of the music and also your voice. And and what you find, like obviously it's not for everybody, but for me, it's the best thing. Whenever I sing with them in, they're the best because I can hear myself so well that I don't push.
Yes.
And that's when you, you kind of end up being a bit out of tune or you might crack or things like that.
Yeah.
So that was the best thing is the balance in my ears was so good. The guys that work on that show, you know, are amazing with sound. So I didn't even have
Sunrise on Network 7.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I didn't even have to say, like when we do sound checks, you always go, "Oh, can I have a bit more of this, a bit more of that, blah, blah, blah." Didn't even have to say a word. They knew it so well. So that really helped as well for me because I didn't push. And especially being so early in the morning, I would have definitely TB'd.
Yeah. TB stands for testy blowout, which we all do every now and then.
Oh, yeah,
it happens. And for those of us that know you well, I remember watching it going, "Oh, my God, how is she doing this?" And when you finished, there was this little look in your eye of like, I just did it. I did it. So it was so good.
Yeah, I did a fist pump.
You fist pumped yourself and so you should have. Hey, look, you are massively fit and healthy, like crazy bullshit fit. And your husband, Josh Ricks, is a professional athlete.
Yes.
So do you guys love exercise so much that like your idea of a date is going for a workout or, you know, like you guys obviously connect on a kind of fitness level as well as everything else. So, like what's your favorite exercise and how important is it to you on a weekly basis?
Yeah.
As part of your kind of process to keep the show happening.
Yeah. So when I first met Josh, I've always been fit, always, my whole life. you know, started exercising with him and just realized that I'm not fit at all in comparison to him.
Yeah.
And so I've definitely been more conscious since I've met him about actually how hard you can push yourself. But obviously when you're a singer, you can't really punish yourself like what, you know, most athletes do, because it your voice is delicate, and so it is that fine balance. And I've had to learn that through my days of Wicked, and so running is my thing. And I don't run too much. Like, I run every day, but I don't run for like an hour a day, because obviously the show, I'll be too tired and my voice will be exhausted.
Yeah.
But I find for me, it's a good sort of meditation thing. Just really good for my head, clears my head.
Yeah.
And just makes me feel good about myself too.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's kind of my thing, but we do not exercise together.
Ah, okay, I didn't know that.
No, no. The only time we ever exercise together is if he is running and I ride my bike next to him.
Right.
That's the only way, because whenever we've tried to run together, like, it literally ends in tears because he pushes me too much. And he's like, come on, you can do it. And I said, no, I really can't. He goes, yes, you can. And then I'll just stop. And I'll just be like, I'm about to vomit, you know? So I think he just doesn't realize how fit he actually is.
And what does he actually do? He's a triathlete.
And so the distance that he does is the half Ironman distance and the full Ironman distance.
Yeah.
So it's a massive mental and physical game. I admire him so much, and I see what he goes through and what he does every day, the dedication. And I think that really helps with my role as well, because I've got to be dedicated and I've got to sacrifice things and work really hard on things. And so we kind of that's probably where we connect in that way.
And you tell a really cool story, because, you know, he does push himself so hard and stuff.
Yeah.
That I didn't know this before I knew you and knew Josh, but triathletes, like, pee their pants when in the middle of an event because they don't stop.
Yeah. So with particularly with the Ironman distance, which they swim 4 kilometers and then they ride 180 kilometers and then they run a marathon. So depending, I know, it's just crazy. And so depending on the course, it can take, you know, 8 hours to sometimes more.
Yeah.
And obviously they're drinking a lot of water to keep hydrated, and they're also having gels and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes they've got to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
And when you're a professional, obviously the amateurs that do it, well, there's toilets everywhere. So they'll stop for a minute and go to the toilet.
Yeah.
And sometimes Josh has stopped if he's been on the run, but, you know, it costs time.
Yeah.
So sometimes they just go, man.
Just let
they
it
just
out.
Go. Just yeah. It's it not out. Glamorous, that's for sure.
No, I just don't know about that. I just feel like, I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could just let one out.
Yeah. Well, can you imagine running? Like, you got to relax.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, it is.
But I'll never find that story or that knowledge unamusing.
Yeah. I find it really fascinating.
Hey, look, anyone who knows you well knows that you love music.
Yes.
And not necessarily music theatre music. Like, you love that, but there are other stuff. There is other stuff that you love. And there are a few of us in the show that constantly kind of share live acoustic recordings around our Facebook pages. Who are your favourite artists, you know, kind of pop, rock, acoustic artists?
Yeah, so I love Ed Sheeran. Did you love that?
Yeah, I loved it. Gemma posted a clip of, I can't remember the name of the song.
It was the Bloodstream
song. There's
the Brit Awards.
Yeah.
And he just, because he creates it all on the spot.
Yeah.
And I just think that's amazing. And he just built that up. Like, I've watched lots of his live performances.
Yeah.
But I've never seen him just go that hard and build that many layers in a song just by himself.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh, I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
So, yeah, love Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
I love Sam Smith. I'm still not sick of his album.
No.
I get obsessed with albums.
Yes. Yeah.
And they consume me for a period of time, and then I'll then eventually find another one and then get obsessed.
Yeah.
But obviously Beyonce.
Yeah, there's always a bit of Beyonce cracking in your dressing room.
Oh, yeah, she gets used, especially on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about Sunday, but I always have a bit of a Beyonce Sunday.
Yeah.
Love Rihanna.
Yeah.
You know.
I bought 4 Rihanna songs the other day just because I'm a bit of a runner too. Not as much as your good husband, but probably as much as you. And I bought 4 Rihanna songs to just whack on my iPod because I just needed to hear that 4 or 5 seconds that she did with Paul McCartney and Kanye.
Yeah, I love that song.
Love it.
But yeah, she's great to run to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love so much about pop music and
And so are you going to record anytime soon?
Look, I'm trying to go through that process at the minute.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just sort of that, it's not an area that I know too well yet. Mm-hmm. So it's a slow process, but fingers crossed, it's definitely something that I really want to do.
Yeah.
And it's just figuring out what to do.
Yeah.
And
what kind of album would you make?
Well, that's I don't overly know yet.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it can go one way or another way, and but I'm in the process.
Yeah. Well, some people might not know this about you, unless we've worked with you, but you have a very naughty sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I feel like nothing's off limits with you.
Yeah.
You always want to hear the dirty joke,
yep,
or hear about the awkward date,
yep,
or hear about the hot guy or girl that someone scored. So I'm going to ask you, Gemma Ricks, no one would have asked you before, I'm sure, in an interview, what turns you on? Like, what gets you going? What makes you go weak at the knees?
Let me
think. Because I feel like you are like red-blooded, sexy, kind of like you're aware of all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's always those simple things.
Yeah.
Like when I met Josh, like it's just kind of that whole thing of like when he would touch my hand and all that kind of like underlying stuff that happens if you're out to dinner and the little looks in the eyes that kind of gives you a little bit of a zing.
But a little flutter in your knickers.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. So I think those little subtlety things, they're actually the things that are, I don't know, exciting.
What's the sexiest thing that Josh has ever done for you? that you can talk about.
I don't know.
That, like, be careful.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I guess maybe just because we do long distance and stuff, you know, surprising me, visiting me and surprising me and things like that when you're not expecting to see him. And
Does it take you a minute to kind of, like, long distance is a reality for a lot of people that work in our industry. And I, like, my experience of it is that it takes a minute for you to kind of get back in the groove of things with someone. Even you're married and so he's your husband and you're committed to him, but does it take you guys a day or so to just go, oh, okay, there you are. Like,
yeah,
I get it.
When we were, because we did Sydney last and that was quite a period of time.
Yeah.
And like we do see each other, but I remember the first night I got home to Melbourne, like we both had the worst night's sleep. Like, because we were like, who is this person in the bed?
Yeah.
You know, you're just not used to each other.
Mm.
And it does. It always takes a little while to get each other. But after like maybe a couple days, then you're completely in sync.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yep, this is us.
Yeah.
But it is. It does kind of throw you because you do spend lots of periods of time completely by yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Keeps it fresh though.
That's it. Fresh and exciting.
Yeah. Hey, now look, here's another fun fact that the fans of Wicked might not know about you. You're a qualified beautician.
Yep.
I find this so awesome and funny.
And I also did it for 4 years, John.
I think
it's not even like I did it for like 6 months.
I know. I know. Like you are like fair dinkum, dinky dye kind of beautician. So surely you've got some stories about being a beautician. And I want to ask you what they are, but also I want to know, were you qualified to do the Brazilian wax?
So
you can do that?
Oh, yeah. I do it on myself. Oh, now I'm getting too much. No. Too much, Gemma. Too much.
So, like, surely you've got some stories about your beautician days and probably the Brazilian waxes. Like, what's a funny story that happened to you?
I think probably I was an apprentice.
Yeah.
So when you're an apprentice, you're starting from the bottom.
Yeah.
And they don't kind of do that nowadays. They do a different kind of thing where the girls now train for like a year full time and then they just go into a beauty therapy salon and start working.
Yeah.
So I did the old school way.
Yeah.
And so what that means is that you are super unqualified and you're working every day and then you go to TAFE once a week.
Yeah.
But you get treated a bit rough.
Yeah.
And I remember the first place that I started working at, and I didn't finish my apprenticeship there, but the boss was quite harsh with me. And I remember, like, I'd go home to my mum and she'd be like, you know, this is character building and this is what makes you tough. And even though she didn't agree with certain things that happened. But just sort of like I remember being clicked at. You know, like pick up this and like would be clicked at and stuff like that. And that, even though you're young and I know you're starting from the bottom, I remember going, oh, this is tough.
Yeah.
And, but I really loved when I got to then start you know, working with customers and yeah. all that kind of stuff. And I, you know, I really enjoyed it. That's why yeah. I did it for, you know, the 4 years that I did my apprenticeship. But yeah, you meet so many interesting characters along the way. And I worked in a pharmacy, which had beauty rooms in the back yeah. for the last section of my apprenticeship. And yeah, so you get some beautiful older ladies that can, you know, tell you some tales, and you got to help them up on the bed because it's a bit high and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I did, there was one job that I had to do, which was quite tough, which was, I think it was every fortnight, I would actually go to a nursing home oh. And cut the people's toenails.
Oh.
So yeah, so that was quite interesting.
Character building.
Yeah, it was. And look, I, you know, they were lovely, lovely people, and they yeah. were so grateful that, you know, I was doing it for them. But yeah, it's a bit of a humbling experience. Yeah.
So. And so are you like majorly kind of, you know, judgmental of a bad beautician? If you go to the beautician, are you like, no, sorry, not good
yeah,
enough?
Yeah, it's actually quite interesting because I used to do it, I used to be, you know, we'd have conversations with people and all that kind of stuff. And now when I go to a beauty therapy salon, I literally don't want to talk to anybody. I just yeah. want to sit there and just get waxed. So yeah. it's quite funny how I used to be a certain way trying to get information out of my clients.
Yeah.
And now I'm the client and I don't want to say anything.
Yeah. Got to respect that, though, I guess.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Just there. Some people use it as a bit of a relaxation time.
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, what do you want to do after Wicked?
I want to go on a holiday to Europe.
Yeah.
I have only been once, and yeah. it was when I was 18.
Yeah.
And Josh has lived over in France a couple times, and he even grew up a little bit for a section of his life in London and stuff. So I feel like to go there. I've never been to London, so yeah. I've never been to West End.
Yeah, amazing.
I know. Yeah. So that's my thing. You know, I've yeah. worked really hard for a really long period of time, so I'd love to be able to travel with him and, yeah. and really explore the world.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Not work for a bit.
Yeah.
What's your dream role if you got to kind of – I mean, that's hard. I know people probably ask you that, and Elphaba is a dream role, but, like, what would you want to do?
Look, I – when I first saw We'll Rock You, I was so moved by the music.
Yeah.
You know, I loved Queen and Freddie Mercury and his voice, and I just loved the music. And I just yeah. was like, oh my gosh, that would be so awesome to play either one of the Oz or Scaramouche or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that would be something. Even like, if you're talking about being challenged, like Velma Kelly in Chicago.
Oh my God.
Because
amazing.
I used to dance when I was younger.
Yeah.
And like, I can't anymore, I'm sure. But I'd have to work really hard. But in the way of being challenged,
yeah.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
And it's such an awesome character. And yeah. And yeah, yeah, dance a little bit.
I reckon something amazing is going to happen. I can just tell.
fingers crossed, Jono.
Hey, that's all the hard stuff done.
Okay.
We're just going to do the Ticket A42 test.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, look, the first question is called The Kid in A42, which kind of references the name of the show and my moment when I knew that I wanted to pursue a career in musicals and theatre and performing. Do you have a moment, a defining moment?
Yeah, definitely was We'll Rock You.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was maybe 18 at the time, I think, when it came out. It was in Sydney. And my dad bought tickets for us to go, and that was a big deal for us, you know, because to come from the coast and to drive and see a show wasn't something that we really did.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal, and he picked the most perfect show because I was completely in love.
Yeah.
And I remember Amanda Harrison was Oz.
Yeah.
And she just blew me away, and
was that mental then for you to kind of work with her?
Yeah, it was nuts. After? It was nuts. And so my friend Lucas Newland, he was in it. And so he grew up with me.
Yeah.
And so it was just insane. It was overwhelming to go, oh my gosh, he's there. You know, I know, you know, we went to Terrigal High School together and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And that was sort of where that momentum for me was, I would love that opportunity.
Yeah.
I was doing beauty therapy at the time.
Yeah.
And doing amateur theatre.
Yeah.
But it I never thought it would be a reality. But
yeah.
But that kind of motivated me to try.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then it went on from there for me. And I actually did audition for it.
Oh.
I think it was when they might have been going overseas maybe.
Yeah.
I can't remember now. But, and yeah, I got a call back, yeah. which is cool. yeah. I had no idea what I was doing.
I love it.
And I stuffed up the intros to both the songs.
Yeah.
I had to sing Somebody to Love.
Yeah.
And Only the Good Die Young. Yeah. No one, what is it? No one.
Only the
No one else but
hand
you.
Across the what? No.
No.
Was it no?
No. Is it no one else but you? No. No one.
Somebody
else
to love.
No.
And
no. This is to say Only the Good Die Young.
This is going great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
But yeah, and I remember because the pianist was behind me, and because sometimes most of the time for me anyway, when I've auditioned, they're a little bit more at the front, and so you can kind of have a little look, and they'll look up, and you go, okay,
yeah,
because it's a little tricky, the Queen music.
Yeah.
And I was 18 and had no idea what I was doing, so I missed the intros, but. Once I started, I was fine, but then I was like, yeah, I've stuffed that up. But it was a great experience, and it made the momentum for me to give it a go.
Yeah, well, and now look at you. I reckon, and I think, you know, Wicked will be so many young people's inspiration for wanting to kind of come into the industry. You know, so that's so nice to be a part of that legacy.
Oh, totally.
Too, you know,
but like I was. When I first heard the album, I was like blown away.
Yeah.
And I was like, this Idina Menzel's voice. I was like, I've never heard anything like it. And it was just so perfect.
Yep.
And so I was one of those people too.
Yeah.
You know, before I was Elphaba. So so to be part of the show, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For all of us. Yeah. Hey Jem, what's got you goat?
All right. So I feel like we need to have information about drivers when you're on a freeway and we have all the lanes.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's no education anymore. Like when I grew up, my dad always was like, you always need to be on the left-hand lane. And if you're going to take over someone, then go into the right-hand lane to overtake.
Yeah.
You don't just sit in the right-hand lane and go whatever speed you want just because you want to.
Like this really annoys you, I can tell.
It drives me nuts.
Because
because it's like there is a system. And what ends up happening is that you end up having two slow people or three, depending on the lanes of traffic, all going the same speed limit. So then you can't take over. So you're stuck. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Well, I don't have a car at the moment because I sold it when we left Melbourne on tour, but I do. Bad drivers just, nah.
Yeah, I just think that needs to be educated with people.
I wonder if it is now.
See, I don't think it is.
Because my dad and mum taught me the same thing too. You've got to get in the left lane, you know.
But see, this is the thing. It's like you'll flash them to go, oi, move over. And they're looking at you like, you know, leave me alone. It's like, no, you're meant to be over on the left-hand side.
yeah.
So that, one more.
Right,
it's the same sort of thing, but just with walking. I just feel like that's another thing that needs to be educated is everybody, let's do the road rules. If you're on the, you're walking a certain way, you're always on the left.
Yeah.
Right? So then you, well, not right.
Yeah.
So then people, you know, can either, so it's just a clear way, clear way that when you go one way, you go the other way, you're always on the left.
And also I now look up from your phone because the amount of people that walk into you.
That's true.
I'm like, look up from your phone.
Yeah.
Stop checking Instagram, look up from your phone.
Yep. That's
stick to the left.
That's
overtake on the right.
That's exactly it. Just like when you're driving as well.
Yeah.
How easy is that?
It's easy. So easy. Hey, now this is very superstitious. So, you know, we theatre creatures are quite superstitious about some things. Mm-hmm. Do you have, having done Wicked for so long, do you have things that you have to do before, during, after the show?
I guess I'm not really crazy superstitious.
Yeah.
But I do. My main thing is I warm up for ages.
Yeah.
I find that if I don't, the swelling in my voice, the next day particularly, my show will be more difficult.
Yeah.
So I warm up for about half an hour.
Yeah.
I also sing through I'm Not That Girl.
Yeah.
First and second verse of Defying Gravity and then all of Wizard and I before I go on stage.
Do you sing it just a cappella or do you have like a backing
track? No, just a cappella.
Yeah.
And right. like, depending if I'm running a bit late, like I'll sing it really fast. But it, I guess it is a superstitious thing because I'll always do it and I'll make it fit into the time.
Yeah.
I also say certain lines just to get the American accent because obviously, as you can hear, I do not have one at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you warm up to the warm-up app Warm Me Up?
Yeah, I do. And randomly, you're in my list.
Oh, really? Yeah. So you warm up with a boy and not a girl?
No. I it was an accident. I don't know what happened.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes because I forget, and so I pick which ones I want to use, and then randomly you'll be like, and I'm like, hey, Jono.
For anyone out there that doesn't know, there's this warm up app called Warm Me Up.
Yep.
You can get it on your iPhone, and it's a warm up app for singers, and I'm the male demonstration voice.
Yeah.
So. Our lovely musical director, David Young, was involved in putting that together. Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, I think it's good too. Yeah, it sells really well all over the
world. I can imagine. It's so easy and it has so many options. Yeah. So you can sort of pick and choose what you feel like doing. And
Jonathan Groff uses it. And if he uses it, then
That's it.
I'm down with
that.
Yeah. I'm down with that on many levels. Hey, tell me the five things you can't live without.
Obviously, my husband.
Yeah.
Sky, my dog, I love so much, my little pudding.
She is cute.
Oh, she's adorable.
Yeah.
Family.
Yeah.
Coffee.
Mm.
And peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
Yeah.
What brand?
What is that? It's in Woolworths and Coles at the moment. It's that, I can't remember the name of it, but it's like a natural one.
Okay. It's not like Kraft or anything.
It's so, so good. Like I actually kind of buy like a few just in case like they run out of stock.
What
I'm
do you eat
of
with it?
It?
Do you just spoon it out or are you like, do you spread it on things?
Toast.
Yeah.
Sourdough toast.
Sourdough toast.
Yeah. I have that every morning.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. This is Diva Tanti. Now, sometimes in the theatre, there are Diva Tanti thrown and they're so serious at the time, but then in retrospect, they're actually hilarious.
Yeah.
So after all your years on Wicked, you must have seen the odd Diva Tanti thrown. Yeah. Or you might have thrown one yourself. I can't imagine you ever throwing a Diva Tanti.
I had one the other day. I've got two things. Yeah. This is one that I just thought of just then.
Yeah.
Because when I'm in the shower, I have a mirror.
Yeah.
And I somehow went into the shower and the mirror looked normal. And then I went to...
Is that to get the green off?
Yeah. And then I went to move it and it was broken, but it was like it had already been broken, like someone broke it but then nicely placed it together.
So
I had a little bit of a
moment,
and I think it's just because at the end of the show and you're in the shower and you're like but this one's funny. It was me being a diva without me knowing that I was being a diva. And so there's we call it the Glindified quick change, and it's when I get into my white jacket.
Yes.
And I have to sit on a chair because I change my shoes and stuff. And anyway, the chair that I get, and I've been complaining about it for honestly years, it's kind of like it's lost its mojo and it's like tilting down the side.
I've used that chair too for my quick change. Yeah. It's dumb.
It's annoying because you're trying to put your shoes on. You kind of feel like you're falling off the chair.
Yeah.
Anyway, it turns into this big joke with me and Phil, who's my dresser. And I'm like, you know, I hate this chair. And he's like, don't worry about it. Rah, rah, rah. Anyway, I got a new chair. And so Erin, who's part of stage management, she got me the chair because she heard me whinging about it one day.
I love it.
And then they had a meeting with all the costume people here. And Paul said, so this is Gemma's chair for the Glindified change. So nobody use this chair. So that's my little diva moment.
I love it.
And every time I sit in it now and I go, I love this chair.
I love this chair.
It's the best chair ever.
Is it just like a fold-up chair?
It's the same. It's actually the same chair as all the others except for it's not like 7 years old.
Right. Gotcha. Who do you phone if you need to phone a friend? Who's your one-stop shop?
So my mum is my number one.
Yeah.
And then also Erin Hassan.
Yeah.
I actually need to call her. I haven't spoken to her for a little bit because she's always all over the place in America. And I'm always on Facebook. I'm looking at her and she's somewhere awesome.
Somewhere fabulous.
Yeah.
Erin was in Wicked.
She was a standby. Ago. Yeah. Standby Glinda. Yeah. And so that's where we first met.
Yeah.
And we just love each other. And, you know, we just connected.
Yeah.
Straight away, really. Yeah.
Well, you're both kind of having similar experiences.
Yeah. And she's just a really easygoing, funny, relaxed chick.
Yeah.
And And yeah, I just have fun talking to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, this is Showbiz Showmance Show Crush. So we all get little crushes on people we work with in the biz. And they kind of defy age and sexuality and availability. Just, you know, you just kind of get enamored with someone. Have you? Surely there's someone in Wicked over the years that you've had a little bit of a crush on.
No.
Nah. 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 Fair enough.
No. We're all mates.
Yeah.
We're all friends.
No yet. One gives you a flutter.
No flutter.
Oh, good. That's good. Look at you.
It's a bit boring, isn't it?
No, that's good. I get show crushes all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah, on like every show I've got had a show crush on.
Really?
Yeah, I just get a crush. Honestly, it doesn't, and it can be like, honestly, someone 50 years older than me or, you know, a woman or.
So is it kind of not necessarily a crush then? Is it more like you admire them?
Yeah, I just get a little bit obsessed with them. Like, I think they're amazing and then talented and then kind of beautiful and all
right
of that,
yeah all
I mean?
Of it together
yeah
right yeah, yeah.
Like I don't know who my one is on Wicked, but before I did Wicked I did Rock of Ages and I definitely had a show crush on Anthony Harkin, who's now writing my show with me, but yeah, so I can't believe I just said that.
Does he know this?
Probably, yeah. He probably would, yeah. Hey, genie in a bottle. Genie grants you three wishes. What are they?
Can I be lame?
You can be as lame as you like.
This is so lame. World peace.
Well, that would be nice, especially with what's going on at the moment.
That's what I feel. Yeah. Like, I feel like it's lame, but it's something that it would be really awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the time as well, like with world peace, if every single person treated everybody how they would like to be treated, I reckon we would have world peace.
Yeah.
But obviously it's impossible for people to do.
Yeah.
So that's something.
Yeah.
I don't know, consistent work, which I've had. So I've actually got that, which has been great. Yeah. But I know that's really impossible in this industry. But, you know, it would be lovely and relaxing.
Yeah.
You know, it can be quite scary to think of, you know, after certain periods of time of work and then nothing.
After June 28th.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, you know.
June 28th, 2015, the whole Wicked cast is out of the top. Yes. So if anyone wants to give us one.
And then I'm spending all my money in Europe.
Yeah.
Oh, and I guess just the old thing of just, you know, happiness and just being happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a Beyonce thing.
They're not lame. They're just simple and that's okay.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. This is Switcheroo. You get to ask me a question.
Out of all the places you have traveled, because you've traveled a lot with shows.
Yeah.
What place is your favorite?
Johannesburg.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we went a little bit out of Johannesburg, but South Africa, I would say, because I did Jesus Christ Superstar. I rehearsed Jesus Christ Superstar there before it went. It was a South African company and then it went back to Asia.
Yep.
And I think it was because it also happened so quickly and, you know, like literally 2 weeks before I got this kind of inquiry if I was available to play Peter in this production of Jesus Christ Superstar. And I was like, yeah, I'm available. But as if you're going to fly me from, I was in Bangkok at the time doing Cats.
Yep.
And I was finishing up and I was like, yeah, but as if you're going to fly me from Bangkok to Johannesburg to rehearse for 2 weeks to then fly me to South Korea to do the show and then fly me back to Melbourne, you know, not going to happen. And it did. And it happened. And I was there and it just was just epic. It was just the most epic experience. And the culture is just so rich and I don't know. I just, yeah. I mean, I know that country's gone through its own struggles and stuff, but I just feel like there's such a joy about the people in South Africa.
And,
it was really infectious.
Did you do some safaris at all?
We did, like, we were working a lot. So we did this day trip, which wasn't, we didn't stay over, but we went into into the jungle and saw, you know, giraffes and zebras and I saw a lion eating a carcass. Like it was the most full-on thing. Yeah, the sound of it kind of running and then biting into this. It was a cow.
You actually saw the hunt as well?
No, I didn't see the hunt. They threw this cow carcass off the back of a truck.
Okay, yeah, wow.
And then we kind of sped past it. It was full on. It was so full on.
Because
you've done a trip
I haven't been to South Africa. We just went to Kenya.
Yeah. I was conceived in Kenya.
Are you joking me?
I'm deadly serious.
I didn't know this.
By a fire, apparently. How sexy is that?
That is actually really, really
sexy. It's
kind of
gross to think about my parents in that life, but it's kind of sexy.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So we saw on a safari the hunt, which is apparently really quite rare.
Yeah.
And it was amazing to see all the lionesses like work as a team.
Yeah.
And they were trying to get down this one single buffalo.
Right.
And it was just amazing. Like, we were just in shock that we were able to witness this.
Yeah.
And it ended up getting away.
Oh, so it got it.
It got away. Oh. It kept going into the water. It was really clever. So it figured out that the cats won't go in.
Yeah,
you know, and they were all talking to each other. They're all moving, and he ended up getting away. Like, he got bitten and stuff, but he didn't get taken down.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah. So I know. I actually thought in my head when it was happening, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to actually feel watching this actually happen.
Yeah.
So I kind of was rejoicing a little bit that it got away. Yeah. Oh,
yeah. It's just the most incredible country.
Oh, it really is.
And of course, like, New York and all of those, London and those places are amazing too, but there was just something about that experience for me that
really
was like,
because
I feel like New York and London and Europe and stuff, it is what you think it's gonna be.
Yes.
You know, like, you go to New York knowing that you're gonna see musicals every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, go just have that experience. So yeah, that was a good switcheroo. I like that. Thanks, Jen.
No worries.
Hey, tell us a secret skill you have that no one knows about.
Oh, God, I don't know if I've got one.
Well, you can do a Brazilian. That's
well, yeah, a yeah, skill. I can do a mean underarm wax.
I love it.
It's not really, I probably can't do it anymore, but I used to do Highland dancing. For years.
Awesome.
Years and years.
You're just a bag of tricks.
Yeah. So I used to wear the full kilt.
Yeah.
And I used to do competitions.
Have to wear those? Because all those girls seem to have those switches that they wear in their hair, the curly.
I would always have a smart bun.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, that was my thing. And I actually got to a point when I was probably about maybe 13 or 14 and my teacher was really pushing me really hard, and it's actually quite hard on the body.
Yeah.
Because you're jumping on your toes the whole time. Yeah. So it's not the Irish dancing one, which is where you don't use arms.
That's the switches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's a Scottish one.
Right.
So you use arms and you have a kilt on and everything. It's much more traditional. And when you do the competitions, they have like a bagpipe player and stuff.
Amazing.
So yeah, and you have swords and you walk on with the swords and you place them down and
But probably where you got your good, like, strong.
My calves.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Because I did it for many years.
Yeah.
I was very fit then. And honestly, when people say, oh, do a fling, and I start, I literally only get through like maybe just the first section of it, and I'm like panting.
Oh, that's funny.
Because it's so hard. But yeah, I ended up getting a bit too hard for me, and it was kind of like one of those things where it's like you don't really do it for enjoyment, you're doing it for a purpose. And I was kind of like, oh, I was just doing it for fun. Yeah. So then I moved from it and got more into my singing.
Sure. Hey, this is called This or That. So it's just one word answers to these questions.
Oh, I'm scared.
Sweet or savory?
Savory.
Dog or cat?
Dog.
Yeah. Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Mom or dad?
Mum.
Black or white?
White. I don't know what that means.
In or out?
In.
Walk or run?
Run.
Summer or winter?
Winter.
Sydney or Melbourne?
Melbourne.
That's because you live there. Beer or wine?
Wine.
Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Salt or pepper?
Salt.
Boxers or briefs?
Briefs.
I just thought of Josh in briefs. That's terrible.
I saw that. That's why I laughed. I was like, you just envisioned my husband in briefs.
He's a very handsome man.
He is.
Christmas or birthdays?
Same day.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
December 25th is your
birthday. That's my
birthday.
And yeah, I share it with Jesus.
There you go. Maybe you are baby Jesus. No, that's sacrilegious. I shouldn't say that. Kisses or hugs?
Hugs.
Hot or cold?
Cold.
Boy or girl?
Boy.
Mates or dates?
Mates.
Day or night?
Night.
His or hers?
His.
Me or you?
you.
Yeah.
That was crazy. That's weird, isn't it? I don't think I've ever done that before.
Hey, look, we're reaching the very end of our interview. Time flies.
It does.
So we're just going to shamelessly plug a few things. So obviously Wicked is currently playing at QPAC. We must close, though, on April the 19th because we are on our way to Perth. We commence shows on May 3 at the Crown Theatre, and that's our that's your last chance to see us.
That's it.
We're out, skis.
Yeah, yeah.
So please come along. All our ticket details you can find through our website, wickedthemusical.com.au. You can follow the cast on Twitter and Instagram, at Wicked in Oz, to keep updated with us and all the deals and stuff that we offer. Or our Facebook page is Wicked the Musical Australia and New Zealand. This is awesome. We're also doing a benefit concert up here in Brisbane in a few weeks. On Monday, April the 13th, the Wicked Company will present Wicked Sings at the Visy Theatre at the Brisbane Powerhouse to raise money for the Brisbane Youth Service. And this is an organisation that helps homeless and at-risk youth in and around Brisbane. Our company is going to be singing all of our favourite songs, not from Wicked, and it's going to be an amazing night. Everyone's performing for free and all the proceeds will be donated. So please go to brisbanepowerhouse.org for bookings. Gemma Ricks is on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to follow her, what are your handles, Gem?
Gemma Ricks Oz, and I think Gemma Ricks _Oz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a few people that try and like, there was someone that tried to hack your account or something one time.
No. It was because, because I was only on Twitter. And so then when I went to go onto Instagram, someone had already taken Gemma Ricks Oz.
Oh, so that's where you got the underscore.
Yes. So that's why the underscore's for Instagram. But,
gotcha.
But the funniest thing was is that person ended up, because I think I did a post and said, oh, someone's taken Gemma Ricks Oz.
Yeah.
And so that person then was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, then took it off. But by then they'd already.
Oh, okay. So they weren't crazy.
Yeah. No. So anyway.
I apologize. John O'Hara is at John James O'Hara. Please keep tweeting me. I love all your feedback. Use the hashtag TicketA42. And if you want to know anything about anything more about what Gemma and I have spoken of today, please visit aussietheatre.com.au/ticketA42. There's an information page on the website. You can subscribe and download the podcast on iTunes and rate it if you like. Now, I'm not really allowed to say anything definite, but please stay tuned too, because I'm taking my one-man show to a really big festival in the middle of this year. So I'll announce that really soon and I'll keep you posted. Gemma Ricks and I are going to have a little picture. Here we go. Hey, Gem, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely.
I'll see you tonight.
Yeah, see you tonight.
This podcast was produced by Matt Edwards for AussieTheatre.com.